worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I'll be introducing my in-studio guests in just a few moments. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Verses 1 through 20, Luke chapter 2. Father, once again, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful and the powerful and the glorious story of Christmas. And we thank you, Father, for the many witnesses throughout the Christmas story, the witness of the wise men, the witness of the shepherds, the witness of Mary and Joseph and the angels, the witness of Hannah, the witness of Simeon and others as well. Thank you again, Father, for the many truths, the many insights about following you and living for you that we find in the Christmas story. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon the heart of every single listener to become a much more faithful witness for Jesus Christ, like the people in the Christmas story. Help us to know, Lord, that we're here for you. We're here to carry out your will, your calling, and the dreams that you have for us in life. Not our dreams, but your dreams. Not our will, but your will. Lord, help us to live more and more altogether and entirely for your glory in all that we say and do, not just at Christmas time, but throughout our lifetime. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we appreciate you choosing to be a part of our listening family. I want to invite you to our Facebook page. Go to Hour of Intercession on Facebook and Hour of Intercession Live, and like our pages as well. And also, Urban Family Talk is our website. We invite you to come, go to the website and take a look at some of the articles, some of the questions that will be, you'll find there too. And I think you'll find it to be an encouraging place to be edified and encouraged as a follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, real quick, before I introduce my guest, I want to remind you an interesting bit of history. Actually, it's history that you have people actually on both sides of this, but you may recall the story, the 12 days of Christmas, and you have a lot of folks that think that's just a silly Christmas song, but actually found something interesting. Now, I want to say up front, there are those that claim it's an urban legend and others that say that there's truth to it, but found on the internet something called Biblical Reasons Behind the Truths and the Insights of the Song, The 12 Days of Christmas. Now, keep this in mind. If you celebrate Advent, which is a wonderful thing to celebrate, it has to do with preparing your heart and your mind for the celebration of Christ's coming and being a more faithful witness during the Christmas season. Well, there are 12 days of Christmas. That includes Christmas Day and the 11 days following as well. But the song, I'm talking about the song. Well, let me share with you something interesting that I found that it said about the biblical truths behind the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. Number one, the partridge in a pear tree stands for Christ. Number two, the two turtle doves They stand for the Old and New Testament. Number three, three finch hens stand for faith, hope, and love. Number four, the four calling birds stand for the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The five golden rings recall the Torah, or the law, the first five books of the Old Testament. Six geese a-laying stand for the 6 days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming represented the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit: prophecy, teaching, exhortation, giving, serving, leadership, and mercy. Number eight, eight maids a-milking stand for eight beatitudes. Nine ladies dancing stand for nine fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 10 lords a-leaping stand for the 10 commandments. 11 pipers piping stand for the 11 faithful disciples. And 12 drummers drumming stand for the 12 points of the doctrine of the Apostles' Creed. Now, again, you have people that think it's an urban legend and others who say it's history. But anyway, it's interesting, and it does point people back to the Word of God. So interesting thing to ponder. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm grateful to have with us in studio today Jeff Wagner. Jeff is here on staff here at AFA. He's one of the broadcast engineers. But Jeff also is a preacher of the gospel, a man that greatly loves the Lord. And he did devotion a few days ago and shared some powerful truths about discipleship. So have the privilege, and I invited him to come on and share some about the insights that he shared. So, Jeff, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
Good to have you listening. Good to have you in studio with us today.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a blessing, and God has been faithful to our families to be a member here of this team, and I really enjoy it, and I feel like it's a God-given, purpose-driven life. It is. I really enjoy it.
Well, as we start off, Jeff, I'm going to ask if you would just start off, before you share about some of the insights that the Lord has given you about discipleship, would you share with our listeners a little bit about your testimony? You have a very powerful testimony that I think can bless a lot of people, and then share about the truths that have really blessed and encouraged you in the era of discipleship that we're speaking of.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we have an hour here, brother. But
all right.
I'm 55 years old. I was born in California, and I have a large family, five brothers, two sisters, but we weren't raised in church. My family was traditionally Catholic. I think I went to church maybe one or twice and went to confessional and didn't do very well, and the priest told me, you need to go back and restudy and come back another time. That scared me, and I don't think I ever went back for a while. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I didn't grow up in a church family. And unfortunately, when you don't, my parents separated at an early age. I moved to Pennsylvania with my brothers, and it was quite an undertaking. We, as a family, didn't go to church. My father was totally deaf, so he couldn't understand anybody but read lips, and that got me even into more trouble because I could get away with stuff inside the house, and we didn't have a TV inside the house because he didn't believe in a TV, and therefore I went across the street to the frat house. And I used to watch TV over there, and unfortunately, being in the presence of a frat house does not lead to a proper upbringing. And so I got into a lot of trouble at an early age. But deep down inside, I've always had a tug or a pulling from God, and I sensed it. And after I moved out to California, I even had one of my cousins ask me. He says, "Do you believe in God?" And I said, I believe there's a God. I don't know who he is or what his name is, but I believe that God is in control and, you know, holding everything together. But later, into my early adulthood, I was still getting in trouble. I actually had a roommate that I was living with who was a heroin addict. I was not that in debt, but I was pretty far gone to the point where In 86, my sister come to me and she said that she was worried. She was afraid for my life. She afraid that I was going to be such a slush and so driven into my my abuse that one day that they was going to get a phone call and they're afraid that they were going to have to come in to the morgue and find me and identify me. And so it kind of was almost a wake-up call to me. A lot of things were happening at the time. I was involved in a bicycle accident. I was working at a new company, and they offered me the opportunity to move from California to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Or I take it back, from California to Mississippi on a company transfer.
And to move from the state of California to Mississippi.
To Mississippi.
Had you ever been to Mississippi before?
I've never been to Mississippi. In fact, I was told by one of my bosses, Johnny Uribe, he said, I don't know if you want to go to Mississippi. I heard they're still marching in the streets down there. And but I just felt a tug to go. And I talked him into a raise and so forth. And I came for a couple months to check it out, and I really liked it. I met my my wife my first wife at that time, and and so I decided to make the move. And God, I believe, was drawing me away from California. He knew if I stayed in that circumstance, no telling where I'd be right now.
Some rough folks in California, huh?
Yes, sir. I had one guy told me, he says, well, why in the heck would you move to Mississippi? And I said, well, you can run just as hard in Mississippi as you can out in California. It's just depending on what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in meeting and getting married, my wife, she was raised in church. And so she said, you know, you're coming along with me. And and so I in 87 made the move to Mississippi and was going to church here locally, and and it was starting to change my life, and I was really enjoying it. And but I was never fully committed. I had never really fully given my life to Christ. I kind of played church for a long time, back from 87 till 93, when I actually, November of 92, when I actually gave my heart to Christ.
92 is when you got saved.
Yes, okay. It was when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And it was a big change. And
before then, you were going to church, but you had never really received Christ. You weren't
really
saved. Okay.
I actually went to the front, I remember, and made up a story saying, you know, I've received Christ, and and I've seen the light at the end of the tunnel, but I really did not know in my personal heart that that's the true decision that I needed to really make.
You had done that before, years before.
Yes.
Okay, and before 92.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, but being in church for 5 years, I learned a lot. Had a lot of head knowledge, but it wasn't until after I asked Jesus to come into my heart that he really made a change inside me. But I was still the natural person, the natural man.
We're going to jump in real quick. We have a break coming up, and we'll pick up there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Jeff Wagner. We'll be right back after this break.
The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. In the wake of Donald Trump's improbable presidential victory, many on the progressive left are trying to figure out what happened. To do so, many of them are resorting to the typical name-calling. You know, America is racist, sexist, misogynistic, etc. Never mind that Trump won a larger percentage of Hispanic voters than Mitt Romney. 13% of black men voted for Trump, 42% of all women voted for Trump. and many voters who swung Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida to Trump voted for President Obama in 2008 and 2012. The voters explained the election simply. They did not want Hillary Clinton.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Recently, I was at my church and came in during the time of children's service. I was so intrigued on the topic at hand, Abba, Father. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Two things stood out to me, adoption and Abba. Adoption means to take someone as your very own. Abba is the Greek word for an intimate form of father, such as daddy. If you ever had a moment where you thought no one wanted you, I am here to remind you that from the beginning of time, Abba Father desired to adopt you into his family. That is why he sent Jesus. He saw you as valuable, significant, and worth dying for. That alone makes you a somebody. For Heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy, with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Forever Jones, the song Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest today is Jeff Wagner, who's a broadcast engineer here at the American Family Association, and also a great servant of the Lord who loves Jesus and a great preacher of the gospel as well. Before we get back to Jeff, I want to remind you, we want to share with you once again a quiz question, a Bible Christmas quiz question, and if you can give us the correct response, the first two people that respond will get a copy of the DVD movie Raggedy Bibles. The question is, what city was Jesus born in? Name the city Jesus was born in. The email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or you can text me at 662-321-5278. 5859. And I will give you a clue. It wasn't Los Angeles. It wasn't Beijing. And it was not New York, okay? So let me know the answer, and we'll look forward to getting the answers then. So, Jeff, would you pick up? You were sharing about your testimony, and we'll let you pick up where you left off before the break.
Absolutely. So I got saved in 93 or 92.
Mm-hmm.
And continued to go into church, and just had an empty heart. I really wasn't involved in a lot of ministry opportunities. I didn't feel like I was bearing a lot of fruit, mm-hmm. And the church that I was going to at the time was very involved in discipleship and so my wife and I, she decided first that she would take the course, and then I said, well, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. And so, but we decided to take a discipleship course called Master Life. And
that was the name of the course that you got involved in.
Yes. And it's a 6-month intense Bible study on making Jesus Christ master of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it involved a group team. We got together every weekend, and we stayed together for about an hour and a half. And we had a week's lesson. We had a memory verse that we studied every week, as well as then we all came together and we discussed what we learned that week.
Mm-hmm.
During the 5-day lesson, and then grew in God's word in a way that I never had before. And
so as you,
tremendous tool and discipleship that just grounded me inside the Word of God in such a glorious manner that I was really pleased that I was able to take that course.
You know, Jeff, when you were sharing about that in devotion a few days ago, and something that really grabbed me was the fact it came, your passion for the Word of God really comes through. And it's so powerful for any believer, for any individual that gets hooked into the Word of God. It changes your life, because God's Word is a book full of power, grace, and anointing.
Absolutely.
And as we begin to read, you know, I don't know how many people I've known that have come to be saved just by, they just started reading the Bible, really got serious with the reading. And that's one of those truths. It's simple and powerful. When you really begin to get into the Word of God, it changes you.
Absolutely. One of the verses that really just changed my life was Psalms chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And it says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law doth He meditate both day and night. Mm-hmm. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth His fruit in His season. And His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall He prosper. When I was able to memorize this verse and actually personalize it to me, mm-hmm. it was like a light bulb went off in my head why I was not bearing fruit. One, because Jeff Wagner wasn't staying in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Wagner wasn't doing it both day and night. And he wasn't planted by a tree by the rivers of water, and Jeff's leaf was withering. It wasn't growing at all. Mm-hmm. And we are like a tree, like a branch. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
For without me you can do nothing. And that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
I could not do anything spiritual in my life because I was not actively allowing that word to give me nourishment, feed my spirit in such a manner that I was allowing that spirit to cancel and teach me and give me guidance on a daily basis.
Well, you know, Jeff, something that we've been doing here on the Hour of Intercession, encouraging believers to really make it a high priority to read through the Christmas narratives. And, of course, narrative is just a fancy word for story. But Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 contain what we referred to as the traditional Christmas story. And one of the reasons that's a good thing is, for number one, is it's once a few small passages from the Word of God, but it's all God's Word.
Absolutely.
And there's power, there's anointing, there's grace to be found there. And when you read and meditate on them, not only do you grow in your understanding of the meaning behind Christmas, but the meaning behind who Jesus Christ is and what he comes to do. And the Holy Spirit really gets the chance to work on you.
Yes.
And when you're in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit works on us. It's like he's reaching his hand into our heart and molding and shaping and helping us to become more and more like Jesus when we just spend that time in the Word.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's what's key about being a disciple of Christ is it's not just for me.
Mm-hmm.
God teaches in his Word, as iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen another.
Mm-hmm.
And brother Joseph, you've experienced things in your life that would help me. I've experienced things in my life that might help you, and we're to share. We're not just to keep it to ourselves,
but we're
to help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the Word so much, but there's so many people out there that need a word of encouragement. They need to allow the Holy Spirit or the Scriptures to impact their lives, to give them direction in such a manner that that they glorify God.
Mm-hmm. You know, that part of what that makes me think about too is that, see, the Word of God is, in many ways, there's so much about the Word of God we can understand. And of course, there's mystery to the mm-hmm. Word of God. But amongst other things, one thing we can know, the Bible is full of grace.
Yes.
And when we read and meditate on the Word of God, it pours grace into our hearts, our lives, our minds. And the fact is, money could never buy that.
Amen.
But if we just make it a priority to spend time reading and meditating on God's Word, it actually brings grace and healing to our lives.
It does.
It brings blessing to our lives. And so it's more valuable to spend time reading the Word of God than it is to do almost anything else in life. Yet lots of people, they don't believe that, and they don't believe it because they don't do it.
Yes, sir.
But the benefit, the blessings are so, so great for us to become students of the Word of God.
Amen.
Would you take a moment to pray for the listeners to really grasp that they need to make reading the Word of God a vital part of their life and their lifestyle?
I sure will.
Okay.
Father God, by your grace and your mercy, you touch our hearts and our lives through our pastors, through your Word, through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you capture our vain imaginations, dear Lord, and just give us the mind of Christ. Lord, use the Holy Spirit inside our hearts and in our lives to teach us, to counsel us, to rightly divide the Word. But most of all, in the circumstances that you bring us to, dear Lord, that you open up our heart and in such a manner, dear Lord, that we can see Jesus and other people who need that encouragement, who need a touch from God, who need to hear a word from you, dear Lord, that will strengthen them, that will give them encouragement, that will make them look for another day, dear Lord, that they can just serve you and bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Allow your Spirit to teach us in every way possible. This I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. I do thank you and I praise you for every person listening. And thank you for the opportunity you give to each of us to spend time with you one-on-one as we simply open the Word of God and spend time reading and meditating on your Word.
Yes.
Thank you for the ways that you pour grace, peace, direction, and understanding into our minds and our hearts. And Lord, anoint us all afresh with the Spirit that would cause us to have a hunger for your Word.
Yes.
A growing desire to get into your Word every day, to read, to meditate on it, and then to walk in its wisdom. Help us to not just read it. Help us to obey it and live by it day by day. But Lord, help us then to in turn make it a goal as a lifestyle to encourage others to do the same. Lord, help us to be mindful that there's so many people out there who we rub shoulders with every day or come alongside for one reason or another, who don't know you or don't know the power in your Word, the blessing that's found in your Word, the grace that flows into our lives as we spend time in your Word. Help us to every day to encourage others to start getting into your Word and thus to be a vessel of blessing that helps people receive the greatest blessing they can receive in life, the gift of your Word. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Jeff, if someone would like to get a copy and learn more about the outline that you're speaking of as it relates to the ministry about Master Life, how could they get a copy of that outline?
Well, they can email me at gwagner@afa.net. or you can go to Lifeway store, and they have copies there. The book, it comes in four books, the series. The first book is called The Disciples' Cross. It's $10 for the book itself. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best investments that you can make. If you're seeking to take a deeper walk into the Lord or with the Lord, this mm-hmm. is just a fantastic investment that will change your life as it wills me. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but it gives you a tool, several tools that you can use to minister to others as you go along. It won't take but 5 to 10 minutes. In fact, I'm going to go through the Disciples' Cross here shortly and just give you an idea how easy and how wonderful it is that you can encourage and lift somebody up.
Okay, so you want to just go through it then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The Bible teaches us in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There are three commitments that are in that verse mm-hmm. itself. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. The first is to deny ourselves. It's not to deny who God created you, because each and every one of us are individuals and we have our own personalities. But God wants us to deny our selfish desires that we have inside our heart. And the only way that you can do it is by applying and asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart. So in John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants so much to be a part of your life. But he wants to communicate. He says, I am the vine, you're the branch. It's a relationship that's there. He mm-hmm. wants to be a part of your life, and he wants to be the mainstream that's feeding your whole life. And he does that several ways. One is God, or Jesus Christ, communicates to us through his word. And in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, it says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God speaks to us through preachers, through teachers, through hymns, through the Holy Word. He speaks to us through circumstances. The Bible says you can look around and know that I am God, because he is his grace is everywhere. His intelligence is everywhere, and he knows. Mm-hmm. We know that he's around us, and he's wanting to speak to us in every way possible. But not only does he want us to speak to us, he wants us to communicate back to him. Mm-hmm. And we do that through prayer. And John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So God wants us to understand. He's communicating to us his glorious measure that he loves us unconditionally. Mm-hmm. He wants to be a part of our lives. We speak back to him through prayer, saying, yes, Lord, I understand. I accept it. Use your power, your spirit, to change my thoughts, to change my ways, so that I fall in obedience and compliance with you.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, we're coming up on a break again, and we'll pick up with the outline on the other side. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Jeff Wagner. We'll be here right back.
Ever dealt with temptation, whether it's food, lust, or even sex? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Here at Urban Family Talk, we stand for truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Believers have the power to withstand the temptation of the enemy. Get empowerment to stand at urbanfamilytalk.com.
The church has to take the lead in ensuring that men are properly trained for fatherhood. We have an epidemic in which boys are not growing up with their fathers. So as Christian men, we have to stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that our communities are not destroyed. When we see fatherhood as a blessing and not an inconvenience, we will see children as spiritual weapons in our arsenal. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says it's hard enough to make our way through the Christian life without being weighed down by the burdens we shouldn't be carrying in the first place. He'll talk about the importance of lightening our load as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When a baseball player comes up in the warm-up circle, you'll often see a weight on his bat as he swings to warm up. But when it comes time to hit the plate, he lifts that weight off because now in the game, that weight becomes an encumbrance. Now, encumbrances can come in different shapes and sizes. Some of us can't run our Christian race because of the people in our lives. We've got people that are stifling our forward movement. If your kids hang out with the wrong crowd, if they're hanging out with dropouts, those peers become an encumbrance to their academic progress. There can be places that are encumbrances. That is, if I go there, that's going to stop me from moving forward in my Christian life, if that's the spot I hang out with. A thing can be an encumbrance. Television can be an encumbrance. Nothing wrong with television, but if I've got time to watch 5 hours of television, but I can't get around to reading through the Bible in a year, then it can become an encumbrance. Because, not because I'm doing something wrong and looking at television, it's just that it's stopping me from moving forward because it is dominating my life or my time. It's an encumbrance. An encumbrance is not necessarily a sin. It's simply something that slows you down or holds you back or limits your progress. That's called an encumbrance.
Discover how you can lose the load of pain and guilt you've been carrying around. Check out Tony's 6-part teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
music of Mandisa. Mandisa singing Angels We Have Heard on High. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you once again, if you'd like to get in on the Bible quiz and to win a prize today, again, the question is, what city was Jesus born in? Simply text it to us or email it to us. The email address is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or you can text us at 662-321-5859. The city Jesus was born in, the first, at least the first two responders will get a DVD copy of the movie Raggedy Bibles. Be glad to send it out to you. Our in-studio guest is Jeff Wagner. And before, Jeff, I'll tell you, before you pick up with the outline, I want to remind our listeners once again, if you'd like to get one of these Bible bookmarks that we do provide, we give them out in large numbers, but amongst other things, it's a discipleship tool. The red ones in particular are both a gospel tract and a discipleship tool as well. On the one side, it has a salvation prayer, and you can give them and hand them out as you share the gospel with others. But also, it's a discipleship tool that encourages believers to begin to get serious with just what Jeff is talking about. Get serious with your reading and studying of God's Word. Real quick, 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word every day. And again, if you'd like to get a copy, let us know. Again, the same email I've mentioned, jparker@afa.net. We can send one or several to you if you'd like to get some for you to have and to pass on to others as well. The 10 reasons to read the Word daily. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved. Number two, reading God's Word is important because it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. A third reason to read the Word daily is it empowers your prayer life. A fourth reason, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly in your life. Reason number five, reading the Word daily is important because it ministers to your mind, your body, and your spirit. Six, it helps you maintain your mental health. So if you don't read God's Word for any other reason, but so you don't go crazy, that's a good reason. Verse number seven, reading the Word daily is important because it increases God's anointing on every part of your life. Number eight, it increases your wisdom in every part of life. Number nine, it enhances your intellect and your personality. Reading God's Word daily can literally increase your IQ. Remember, God's Word has anointing on it, and God's anointing can enhance the gifts, the strengths, the abilities God has already put in your life. And a tenth reason to read God's Word daily is because it pours peace, grace, mercy, joy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. You need to be reading God's Word every single day. And as you're listening to the truths that Jeff is talking about, we're just really believing and hoping that you will be inspired to decide, I'm going to start reading at least three chapters in my Bible every day so that I can receive the great benefit, the great blessings, the great encouragement, the great empowerment that comes from getting into God's Word every single day. And to every parent listening, I want to remind you, parents, we need to teach and train our children to do the same so that they too can be blessed by the empowering and the blessed Word of God and taking it in your mind and heart every single day. Again, our in-studio guest is Jeff Wagner. And Jeff, if you'll pick up, you're sharing further about the outline that's based on the Master's Life the Master's Life book. What is the name of the book again, the title?
The Disciple's Cross.
The Disciple's Cross, okay. Would you pick up sharing further about the outline where you left off?
Absolutely. Remember, we're in Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There's three commitments. Mm-hmm. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So the way that we take up our cross, the Bible says in Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Mm-hmm. So if we are not doing what this scripture asks us to do, daily get mm-hmm. into God's Word, daily communicate with Him through mm-hmm. His Word, daily pray back to Him what we've received from His Word, none of this is possible if we don't have Christ in the center of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so in John 15:10, the Bible says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus demonstrated this for us mm-hmm. himself. He abided, He obeyed God's commandments. He lived his whole life holy and acceptable unto God, and mm-hmm. God blessed him and honored him, and he'll do the same for you and I. So it's a relationship that we have with him as mm-hmm. well as he has with ourselves. So God communicates to us through his word. We speak back to him in prayer, but we're not to have this for ourselves. We're to share it with others. Mm-hmm. And in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he says, "A new commandment that I have given to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Hmm. We're to help and reach out, to nurture, to touch and impact other people's lives. Joseph, or Brother Joseph, you've experienced things in your lives that will help me, and I might have experienced things in my lives that will help you, and we can feed off one another. As mm-hmm. iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen another. So I'm in here to help you, to help the listener understand we need each other. That's we right. need the body of Christ to build each other up, to strengthen one another so that we can walk this walk that is faithful to God. Mm-hmm. And so it's not only that, but we're to reach out our other hand to a lost and dying world. John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Hmm. Sin occurs in three different ways. One, there's the lust of the eyes, there's the lust of the flesh, and there's the pride of life. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ experienced all three of these sins or temptations in his life. Mm-hmm. And he says that because he has done that, he understands and knows who you are.
He knows what we've gone through.
Well, In discipleship, we're building relationships. We're not saving it for ourselves, but we're trying to reach out and save a lost and dying world. And the only way that you can do that is to identify with that other person. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul says, "I become as they are." Mm-hmm. And so they have experienced a life of sin the same way that I have. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm witnessing to a person, I find out who they are, where they've been, and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then I understand the troubles that they're going through, and then I identify with that. I take a sin mm-hmm. or a trouble that I've had in my life and how the Holy Spirit has counseled and gave me guidance out of that stronghold. I can teach and encourage that person to do the same thing.
You know, Jeff, let me jump in real quick and share something that's very, very critical part of what you just touched on, just to expand on it. You know, it's very important for us as believers to know that our faith in Christ, it's personal in the sense that it's to be one-on-one and we're to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's not to be personal in the sense that we keep it to ourselves.
No.
And just as you so powerfully touched on, we need to know we're to walk in close fellowship with God. But we're supposed to also be continually reaching out to share the love of Christ and the gospel and the word of God with other people. And what is tragic is when you have people that think it's only about their personal prayer life, it's only about their personal study of the word of God, but they spend little or no time and energy witnessing, telling others the gospel and sharing Christ with others. They just feel like, well, it's just about me walking close to God. That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't stop there. It's important that we have a vibrant witnessing life where we're witnessing and discipling others on a daily basis. There are lots of believers out there. If you'd ask them, when's the last time you shared the gospel with some of them? Some would sadly say, I've never done it.
Yes.
And then there were those who say, well, are you discipling anyone? The excuses come in all forms. I don't have time. I'm shy. That's not me. Our church doesn't teach that. All kinds of excuses. But tragically, it's a failure to do what Christ has clearly called every one of
us
to do.
Everyone. Hmm. Yes, absolutely. And that's what's so neat about this course. It gives me a tool that I can use to minister to other people on a daily basis. So it's very important as a chaplain assistant, as a minister, you're a minister as well. Mm-hmm. God or other people will call on us at all times of days and night. And if I'm living a sinful lifestyle and doing something that I'm not supposed to do, I can't give out my phone number. I can't give out information for other people to contact me in order to be a minister to them. And so I have an accountability to God. I answer to Him. And so I live a life that's holy and pure before Him and able to be used by God to minister to those other people. So on a daily basis, we are to get into His Word. We're to pray in faith. We're to fellowship with other believers, and we're to witness to a world. And if we do each one of these things on a regular basis, if you stay in the Word on a daily basis, it leads to a ministry of teaching and preaching. If you pray every single day, it leads to a ministry of worship and intercession. If you reach out to your fellow believers on a daily basis, it makes a ministry of nurturing. If you fellowship with to a lost and dying world, it leads to a ministry of evangelism. And if you do all these things together on a daily basis, get into His Word, pray, fellowship with believers, share your testimony, it leads to a ministry of service. And John 15:13 says it's the best. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jeff, our time is just about gone. Would you say one more brief word of prayer before we end our time, praying for the listeners to really grasp the need to become a diligent student of the Word of God as well as disciple?
Absolutely. Father God, Lord, we just come before You. We know that You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and God, that You want to reach inside our hearts. God, You want us to become a part of Your vine. We want to allow Your Word to surge through our bodies, but most of all, You want to teach us and counsel us, dear Lord, that we can build the relationships that we need to believe to have in our lives with our family, our loved ones, with our coworkers, so that we can reach out and touch their lives with Your Word, with Your Spirit, and draw them into Your fold, dear Lord. I pray that You allow us to be that minister, to be that agent of hope and love and the fruit of the Spirit, dear Lord, that they'll reach up and take a bite of that love and say, I want another bite. I want more love. I want more gentleness inside my life. God, help us to be that steward in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jeff, for being with us today.
You're very welcome.
And thank you again. The title of the book one more time.
Life, the Disciple's Cross.
Master Life, the Disciple's Cross. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Hope that you're inspired and encouraged to get into God's Word every day. Again, 3 chapters a day is a good goal to shoot for every day. It'll bless and encourage you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.